buffalo. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Welcome to the SC Ballers Q&A podcast, our very first ever Q&A pod. Looking forward to getting stuck in. I'm joined today by coach of the Casa Bonitas and 2014 third place overall finisher, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, welcome to Q&A.
Yeah, thank you, Matty. Good to be here for the first one. Shame to miss Tuesday, but C-Mac from the C-Mac 86ers stepped in, did a great job. Very, very entertaining to sit back and listen this week. So, yeah, really enjoyed it. How you doing?
Yeah, all good. My brain's a bit fried. This is the hardest trade week I think I've ever encountered with all the rain around, plus the fullback debacle that we'll get stuck into and where to put the money, you know, whether it's cheapies or points this week. It's very, very difficult, but let's try to unpack that all tonight. I'd like to start with a big shout out to the Baller community for sending in their questions. We're growing rapidly. Make sure you check us out on all our socials, X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course TikTok. We're everywhere. Hopefully you can't miss it. There was a big one in my mug promoting this podcast yesterday. It's proving quite the challenge to try and nail TikTok as a 40-year-old man, but we're getting there. But you can't miss my big boof head on your social media platform. So make sure you check us out. Give us a like and subscribe. We're going to get stuck in tonight, Dan, to some spicy calls around fullbacks, trade tactics, and the rookies that are under the spotlight this week from a cheapie perspective. Let's get straight into it with fullbacks and we got three questions on fullbacks here, so let's just rattle them off. They're all together. Philip from Cronulla, thoughts on trading out KP and who are the best replacements? Brian from Brisbane, a.k.a. NRL Physio, now that Paps isn't goal-kicking, should I still trade him in, asking for a friend? And Jack from Melbourne, who is the better bringing in classic, Gutho or Paps? Dan, these are obviously all heavily related. The three fullbacks that are on the radar this week are Pappenhausen, Turbo and Gutho. Turbo for different reasons. He's playing the Eels with that Sunday afternoon game and looking like the weather could be quite good, which is a big positive this weekend. Let's start with the KP question. What are your thoughts on trading out Kalyn Ponga this week?
I can really tell you're rattled. You just listen off. So just went on a little bit of a diatribe there on everything.
I like a diatribe.
You do like a diatribe. KP, I'm very keen to hold. I think so many people were looking to trade out after that captaincy on the weekend. I was hit by it. Lots of people were hit by it. I think, you know, the first two rounds showed that he's just an absolute premium gun. Even the first round, I think it was 82 and didn't really have much attack there. So we definitely saw his floor, absolute bottom price floor against Titans there. I'm going to do everything I can trade. I know everything I can do to keep him in my side. I know you're definitely thinking about bringing in Turbo for him.
Yeah, I'm at this stage, my plan is to trade out. I'm going to hold that trade. So Ponga to Turbo on Sunday. I can get all the information before then. There's no rush. KP obviously isn't playing, so can trade him out right up until kickoff for Turbo. So that's my plan at this stage. He comes back. They play, so they've got the bye. He's got a break even of 75, but that's going to shoot north once that 129 drops out of his average next week. I'm not really concerned about his cash loss at all, but he does have Bulldogs next week, which is a tricky little fixture at a core stadium. For him, Bulldogs obviously a bit depleted at the moment, but still a very good defensive unit. He then runs into Tigers at home, which is obviously a great fixture, even with the Tigers' improved form, and then the Sharks at home before they head to New Zealand in Christchurch to play the Warriors. So look, I spoke about it on the main pod. I'm really not adverse to flipping fullbacks around to make sure that I've got three guns each week, and I think that. It is costing me a bit to get Turbo in this week, but I really just can't see past that fixture, and with the high ownership and high captaincy as well, that I think the ploy for me is trading KP out. So yeah, I think it's very team dependent. Would that be fair?
Yeah, the only person I would probably trade Ponga out to is Turbo. I don't really like the option of trading down to the guys on the bubble with a low break even this week of Gutherson and Ponga, unless it really facilitated a third trade boost that really solidified your side elsewhere. I just don't think it's going to be hard getting him back in at some stage. And I just really like probably the top three, Turbo, Ponga, and one of Pappenhausen or Reese Walsh is probably what I want going with my three fullbacks. I've got Yongi, so it's really difficult. I really want to keep Yongi. I think he's still got a breakout game to come.
Yeah, he's too cheap. He's too cheap to trade at this stage.
Yeah, so that's really just keeps me. So I'd only really look to go to Turbo and just purely for that power draw this week. It's going to be a very scary watch.
I agree. I think the Turbo is the one to go for Ponga. Let's talk about the possible replacements though, Dan. We'll start with Pappenhausen and focusing in on the news that we've got in the last 24 hours that he's very unlikely to be goal kicking this weekend with Wishart to take the tee. He spoke on his podcast about having a ankle ligament issue that he looks like he's going to be able to play but not kick. How worried are you about that injury from a trading perspective, especially without the goal kicking?
So with a bit of physio backgrounds, Pappy's saying the ATFL, so it's the outside ligaments on the ankle. Very, very likely for people to play through that. You see it all the time, a low-grade sprain of your ATFL. I know in big games people have probably done a really high-grade one and kind of just strapped it up and had the needles and kind of just played on and dealt with the consequences afterwards. So I'd suspect it's a low-grade one, and he will be absolutely fine with a bit of recovery this week and strapping up. So I expect him to play. And output-wise is probably not going to hinder him too much. I think with the side they've got him this week, they're going to give him a lot of the ball, which he's going to be feeding in there on the right-hand side. He loves to play around Munster. So I don't have any issues or worry about his output this week.
It's worth noting that Pappenhausen has a break-even of -4. The 131 from his round two will drop from his round one game will drop out. So his BE next week should be manageable. I'm not worried about his injury like you spoke about, Dan. The goal kicking this week does put a dent in, but I think he was going to be a very popular trading target even if Meany wasn't injured with that goal kicking. It's still a good fixture this week against the Dragons. We'll have our expected points table out today, but they're still going to be very high, the Storm, even with that bit of rain around in Sydney this weekend. The main thing that concerns me with Paps is just what is that output this week? Like I'm just a bit unsure how that's going to go with no Hughes. There is a very good chance he's going to pick up the goal kicking next week if his ankle does recover. So I'm just going to give it a couple of weeks. They've got a couple of tricky-ish fixtures relative to the rest of their run in the Dragons and then Manly away, both away. So I'm probably going to zone in on Gutho, Dan, who I'm happy to have a chat about now. He's got a -48 break even with another very low break even next week. He's going to be great cash generation. Could this be the guy who is just the one who gets off the leash this season and is the game changer for owners?
I mean, if you ask me this pre-round one, I'd say like Gutho's absolutely in the bin. His knee's done. He's gone. He's playing for St. George. He's on a, you know, he's basically near retirement.
He's 30.
Yeah, he's 30 years old. So I three rounds in, he's played two games. He's averaged a ridiculous amount of points in creating stats, 70 points just in creation alone. So obviously he's that absolute link man for St. George at the moment. When you break it down, if you go for that head-to-head, Clint Gutherson versus Pappenhausen, very, very similar across the board in their base stats. Evade stats, so they're, you know, line breaks, line breaks, assists, offloads, that sort of thing. So really comparable across the board. And I was leaning towards Pappenhausen with the goal kicking. Now I'm not. So Gutherson with his 140 in his rolling average for two, much more likely over the next 2 weeks to gain bulk cash. And Manly at four pints for Pappenhausen next week, not the easiest draw there. I am honestly thinking maybe Gutherson for 2 weeks and then turn him into Pappenhausen round seven.
Yeah, I'm on the I'm on board with Gutho now too. It's not. I still think Pappy will probably outscore him in the next 2 weeks on the balance of probabilities. But he is the man, like you said, for the Dragons. That role looks perfect. He's pushing up through the middle for in support, and then he's sweeping out as second or third receiver on the left and the right. They're hitting him more often than not, and they're using the short edge back row runner as the option play. And then they've just got so many options, and Gutho's just so heavily involved in that. Now, I will say that they've got Melbourne this week before their draw really opens up, with Para, Gold Coast. Manly away is a tricky one. Roosters, Tigers, Warriors. So very friendly little draw. And if the Dragons can catch fire, then I think he's the man. I did note, just looking at some of his stats this week, in terms of receipts so far this year, it's obviously a small sample, two games. He's actually down on last year, but it really is that quality of possession that's gone right up, and enough for me to put him over Paps this week. I just think like you said, Dan, I think you can still bring Paps in 2 weeks' time, once we get a bit clearer view on his injury and if he's picked the goal kicking back up. So that's where I'm playing that at the moment. Just on Turbo, finally, to round out the fullback chat, like I said, I'm looking at possibly bringing him in Sunday, just with a check on the weather and a bit of mental health reasons. It's going to be hard to have anything to do with that Manly game if I don't own him. But I do think just riding that variance is the way to go. Dan, are you concerned about him coming back from that hammy? It's obviously a bit of a different one, because he didn't actually strain, he didn't actually tear his hammy this time. He's just kind of got some awareness or tightness there.
Yeah, it was funny. Today I had a patient actually who 3 weeks ago had some tightness, a crampy sort of feeling in the hamstring. I saw them, about 10 days later, and they were testing absolutely perfect, gave them the all clear. They ended up playing a couple of weeks, and then they're back in with a hamstring injury this week. So, look, even all
was
the
it,
testing.
Was his name, was it Tom? Was it Tom from Brookvale?
Well, yeah, I don't want to say anything, but Tom's on a long flight back from London tonight, so he could be a bit jet lagged for Sunday. But look, there's always a bit of risk, and we know his history. 7 hamstrings deep now for his career.
Yeah,
I just feel. I'm on the side of not bringing him in, purely because the downside scares me more than the upside. So I don't think their draw is great after this week. I think the upside is there for this week. Your rank might look a bit better because he goes out and gets 140 compared to, say, a Gutherson 70 or a Papenhuyzen 70. But longer term, it does scare me. Even if he gets through this week, the next three, Manly are going to be pushing. They're good teams they're coming up against. So his output's going to have to be high, and big injury risk, I think, still in the next few rounds.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Let's just round out the I've just got one last point on Kalyn Ponga and the trade out. Part of the question from Philip was note that Dylan Lucas being out and they're sort of forwards. They got KPP out for one more game as well, and the impact we saw that they struggled against the Titans. And is that a bit of a worry for Ponga for the next few weeks as well? And could that add value to the trade out option?
Yes and yes. I think it did scare me a little bit. We kind of talked about it pre that Titans game for Ponga. The team wasn't looking good. I really like Titans to win that game. And it was a little bit concerning. I thought he got a lot of ball. He still played that first receiver role, just didn't have the momentum going forward. So, yeah, slightly concerning in that sense. I think he will bounce back, though. He's the kind of player that hates losing. You can see him. He's an ultra competitor. So he's going to be even more encouraged to get his hands on the ball. And I think they've got enough flair that they're going to at least score some good points there, the Knights.
Question in from Crackers from Carringbar. Real person, Crackers. He's a big fan of the show. Geimer to Hamish Stewart. Worth the trade considering Geimer isn't playing and is a non-bottom dollar enough without dual position. Look, I think that Geimer to Hamish Stewart is a perfectly fine trade if you don't have other fires to put out this week. Geimer's obviously front row forward only, so he'd be your third front rower. He's had a really good start to his career at the Dragons. He's had a couple of nice minute games, obviously a little bit HIA impacted, I will say. where he has scored over 40 in base in both his appearances in limited minutes, 42 minutes and 33 minutes. He looks a good little slow-burning cow to me, Dan. And if he suits your team this week and is a downgrade option, I'm not adverse to putting him in. He doesn't suit my plans because I need a 2RF this week that I can play. So I'm looking at Nicholson, even with some doubts around his minutes. But I quite like Hamish Stewart because I like that bench. They've got a two middle bench, him and Clemmer, with Dan Egan and Jacob Little filling the other two spots. So I think his stocks are up this week.
Look, this is going to be a running joke. I'm bringing up Ryan Couchman again for the Dragons. He was originally that second rower, that edge player on the bench, and the way they were playing it in the trials was that Ryan Couchman would come through the middle to start and then he would replace Luch. So I don't know enough about Dan Egan. You might know a little bit more, but there might be a potential that he comes through the middle to start and then subs Luch off at the end. So bringing in Clemmer as well, we know he's only middle. He's going to take some minutes there. I'm a little bit concerned on Hamish Stewart. I think he's absolutely capped it. 40 minutes or whatever he's been getting. He will never get more than what he's been getting. And the only downside is you're probably looking like he's going to get less. That's how I kind of read the current situation at the Dragons.
Yeah, there's a follow-up question as well that Jono actually put in around weighing up early boost for this. I probably wouldn't do that for a boost, that move, unless it was like there's a 40K difference there to facilitate another buy. Like if that was really getting you to a Paps or a Gutho or something this week, then I'd consider it. But yeah, I wouldn't call him a trap, but I think he's an okay buy for a slow burn. It's not gonna be perfect, but I don't think it's gonna go too wrong for you there. Just looking at Dylan Egan too, he is an edge back rower. He's played all his reserve grade there. He's actually got quite a good average of 59 points in reserve grade. From 75 minutes per game. So he might be one to keep an eye on if he can jag a starting spot. Luch is looking like he's had a bit of a sluggish start to the season. So just got to keep an eye on those minutes rotation there at the Dragons. Obviously, Couchman is a bit of an option this week as well. Moving on to the Titans, Dan, and Jacob from Brisbane asks, how do you think Keeney out impacts Brimson? And I'd like to extend this to Jaden Campbell as well. It looks like Keeney might be gone for the season with a bulging disc. How do you think that's going to hurt the Titans and the output of guys like Brimson and Jaden Campbell?
I think it quite obviously affects them negatively. Keeney is an absolute weapon, so attacks are going to be kind of targeting, looking out for him. Without him there, certainly is going to be more targeted at those key playmakers. So I think slightly, I don't think it'll stop the run of Jaden Campbell, though. I think he is nearly essential next week at that 5-8 position. I am in the position where I will have Hines, Cleary, Munster, and hopefully Campbell as that fourth half, and that I am hoping to lock away for as long as possible or until injury. So even without Keeney, I think he's still going to be that top two or three 5-8s for the season. Brimson's kind of sporadic, like his injury history. It's like sometimes absolutely explosive, sometimes can hardly run. I think he's going to average well, but you're probably going to expect some low games. But yeah, it's really tough there. Keeney's, I think he was touted as being out for the season already, and then there's been a bit of a pullback on that. Few reports saying he hasn't even seen a specialist. Bulging disc is an interesting one. If it's a really acute bulging disc, it's not always surgically managed as well. So I just don't think there's enough information out there at the moment to speculate on how long he's going to be out for.
Yeah, Brimson's been sold this week. He's obviously got a higher break even. Tubes made him pot of the week. Which is big pod this week to be bringing in Brimson. But yeah, he's got a historically good average at 5-8. It's just whether the Titans can keep going. I think Keeney out is a huge loss. He really is that guy who obviously gets them on the front foot, but then in the red zone, he's always there as Johnny on the spot for the likes of Campbell and Brimson to offload to. So yeah, it's a huge loss. Patrick from the UK asks, with all the uncertainty this weekend around injuries and weather, is the money play the tactic to go with this week? I think that money is so abundant that I wouldn't be prioritizing cash generation as a priority this week. I think that you still want to be going for the most amount of points you possibly can. You should have 4 or 5 center wings plus some other positions still making bulk cash for you. I don't mind a money play to facilitate a points play. So I think this is a really good week still to use a boost. So I think that, if it suits, like, I think Matty Nicholson is still going to be a good cow. I think worst case, he makes 100K, not the end of the world. Best case, he makes 200, 250K. So, yeah, I'm eyeing off him. But, yeah, I don't know how you're feeling about this one this week, Dan.
Look, I see Patrick's point. I understand that, like, you're looking around and you're like, who is going to score points for you this week? And the rain obviously really scares you for those outside backs and those fullbacks going well, as some of the SC Boer stats you put up have shown. They obviously drop their output there. I am going for the cash play purely because I think it's early in the season, lots of trades there. And I am probably playing these guys for only 2 or 3 rounds and maybe moving them on. Obviously, you hope they turn into longer-term keepers, but I'm more than happy to go for the cash for these 2 rounds if your team is set up otherwise. Now, this week is, like, ridiculously hard. It's just ultimate survival for me in particular. I've only got 18 people playing, 19 people playing, yep, maybe if Skelton plays. So I'm happy to just try to hold on, survive, maybe make just over par if I can, and try to bank a little bit more cash to attack next week.
Tubes actually has just written in with a question on WhatsApp relating to cheapies this week. He's asked, is it a risk to go early on Tom Jenkins from the Panthers? It might be worth it. Look, he looks to have won a spot on merit there. I saw him play the other night. He looked pretty good. He's a big boy. He's been playing center in reserve grade. Is it too early to say he's won that spot, Dan, off Casey McLean, who's named in Jersey 18?
I think definitely. I think almost definitely. Like, yeah, it's all an absolute mix-up. Like, even Ivan named Blaze on the bench and now he's dropped him from the side altogether. You know, Alamotti's been named in centres and then starts in the wing. Like, it's really not looking good for any confirmation what's going to happen in that Panthers backline in 1 or 2 weeks. So I think it's certainly way too early to bring in Jenkins this week.
Especially with all those, with those center wing spots in your team, they're so valuable with so many cash makers and premiums. Obviously Garrick has gone big last week. Rogers, the obvious trade out there this week for a lot of teams, but I think you can do better than going to Jenkins this week. I think Jenkins will be a great, once he's on the bubble next week and he's looked good this week, then you probably, he's next week. He could be a great downgrade from an Arthur's or who knows who next week to get you that cash to get up to Jaden Campbell or something like that.
There's someone, Robert Darby, I think he's on the horizon next week as well. Could be a cash gen play.
Possibly. Burns might be back soon.
Might be back soon. But, like, you'd be absolutely kicking yourself if you picked up either Darby or Jenkins this week. You get to next week, the other cash cheapie has popped off and he's got a minus negative break even and playing, and your one that you picked up isn't. So it's just not worth the risk at the moment for guys who aren't guaranteed to be really good points plays either.
Mark on Instagram, Dan, asks, he wants some baller basics. Can we get the VC loop chat? Mark is a new player to Supercoach this year. I know he's coach of Turbo Light. Can you just give a quick breakdown, Dan, of the VC loop? And I promise that we are going to do a baller basic series on YouTube very soon.
Yeah, I guess like Tubes is a big hold guy. I'm a big loop guy, so I love I love the opportunity to do a loop. The way it works is basically you put a VC on early in the rounds. You make sure you've got someone who isn't playing in your non-starters. So if your VC gets a big score and you're looking at probably this year, looking at over 100, 110, you've got to be careful.
Team dependent. I got to say like super team dependent on like what you're, who you're dropping and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of things to consider, but if you're a rookie, like you're not going to really have the capacity to consider all these things. So putting an arbitrary number up is probably as easy as it's going to get. If you get a non-playing reserve who scores very, very low, say they get a 2 points like Cleary the other week, they are definitely going to be the AE that comes in, and they're definitely going to be the ones that drop out of your 18 players, so they won't score for you, which is great unless you have another guy that scores another 2 points or 5 points or 10 points. So the lower score is really important. And if you've got no one with a low score with your non-playing reserves, absolutely golden to play that VC loop this year. So, yeah, it will be either the NPR or your lowest scoring player on the field that drops out. And we did some analysis early on in the year, and we noticed that often it was not the auto emergency, the non-playing reserve that actually was the lowest score. It was usually someone in your starting team who might have got injured or had a HIA. So I think this year is particularly important because you get them dropping out. I think the loop is much better and much more of a priority this year.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'm a big loop guy as well, and I think you really need to prioritize learning about how to use it. And also, I think, Dan, probably just a point to add there is for any new players is making sure you set up your team properly before the start of the weekend. Make sure you have guys who are playing early in the round on the field and guys who are playing later in the round off the field as reserves, so that you can move those reserves around. And you create more flexibility, and you're on the spot in case there are late pullouts, and you don't get caught with an unnecessary AE.
Yeah, little point on that too. Anyone on the bye is available to move around until the start of the last game. So they are really, really important in those loop potentials. You've got a guy on a bye, make sure that your players in their position haven't all already played, or put them as a reserve just in case, like, you know, so there's the potential to have that flexibility there. So those guys on the bye, really important in those loop situations.
Final thing on the looping for me is this week, when you've got guys like Ponga on the bye, and you might only have, like you, Dan, 18, 19, 20 players, that actually makes the loop more viable because you've got less auto emergencies to worry about, and you're probably down to your last like two or three players to pick from for that last reserve spot. So guys like Purdue or Tamale, Sandon Smith. So, you know, there's not going to be a huge range probably between those guys, and you might end up picking your worst scorer for that last reserve anyway, which again, the whole point there is that really makes the loop more viable. So Payne Haas is currently the most vice-captained player this week. He's playing on Friday night, and he's going to be a very, very popular captain and vice-captain pick. And you can, if he can come out and bust another 100, then that'll be very loopable.
Yeah, I think I'm almost even going to take 80 this week for my side particularly, because I have no auto emergency other than the guys that are playing. So it only really comes down to Jarrell Skelton. I think he's, you know, 80% he's not playing this week. So I'll have him as a reserve just in case, right up into the final call on him. But then Gajewski is going to come in as my auto emergency, and there's no one else. So it's absolutely free for me to do it. And so 80 points this week, after what happened with Ponga last week, I'll be happy just to get a solid score this week and move on.
Bank the points. Exactly right. Final question comes from the SC Chumps Discord, which I get involved in every now and again. It's good chat in there. It's Brendan. He's asked, is Chaowulf a sure thing this weekend? Now, Chaowulf, for new listeners, is the Podfather's horse, the baller horse. He's a very good horse. He's won a couple of Group 1 races. He's racing at Randwick on Saturday. Brendan, Chaowulf, nah, I can't ever call him a sure thing, but I would be very, very surprised if he gets beat this weekend. He's a nice short quote, and he's on the way to the Queen Elizabeth. Dan, that sees us out tonight, or this morning, or whenever you're listening. Just a quick recap. We got Pappy and Gutho. I think we're aligned on probably Gutho's our – we got Gutho ahead of Pappy at the moment.
Yeah, that's today. Today, I think you've been more rattled this week than I've ever seen you in Supercoach. I think you're just – you're even throwing out that you might win this year. You know, you haven't been this highly
rated. I'm not throwing out I might win. I'm trying to win. I'm playing to win.
You're playing to win.
You're
very chuffed with your high rank at the moment in the top 1K. I've just moved out of the top 1K. You know, I've been there before, Matty. It's dizzying heights and it takes over your life a little bit. But I think you've just got to take it easy and pick and stick this week. Just get in your head and do it.
But this at this moment in time, we're Gutho over Pappy is my point.
Yes.
Yes, okay, good. All right, my trades this week, currently looking at Gutho, Turbo, and Matty Nicholson in for Corey Pax, Kobe Hetherington, and Kalen Ponga. So using my second boost, I saved trades week. I made no trades week one, boost last week, and boost this week. Dan, you've got a video dropping this afternoon on with your trades, so we won't spoil that. Keep an eye out on socials there. Make sure you give us a like, follow, and subscribe on all our social media platforms. And please drop in questions. We'll get them on the pod next week. Big thanks to everyone who did it this week. Keep an eye out on all baller channels for new content coming very soon. And Dan, enjoy your sleep tonight and looking forward to a big round 4.
Yeah, thank you, Matty. Cheers.
See you guys.